Have you ever heard the word clickbait? Clickbait is a new word kind of around these days, and it typically refers to the practice of writing kind of sensationalized or misleading headlines in order to attract people to click on pieces of content. Maybe exaggerating a bit, leaving out key information, just to encourage traffic to a particular website or something posted online. And it's almost like people feel today, if you're trying to get yourself known, heard, seen, recognized in social media or anything out there today, you got to do something to get their attention. We're surrounded by just so much stuff. Everything trying to say, listen to me, pay attention to me, notice this, happens everywhere. It even happens in churches. The Apostle Paul had to deal with it 2,000 years ago. He's out trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he had to. Now, he didn't use the term clickbait, whatever that would have been in Greek, but at the same time, it was almost the exact same thing. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Here's the thing. There's this city, Corinth. He's dealing with these people, the Corinthians. And they held, in particular, eloquent speakers in very high regard. They were idols. They idolized them. They liked clever speakers, people who just had a very kind of captive way with words. And so that's what they valued, and that's how they chose who they're going to listen to or pay attention or not, on what type of communicator they were. Now, Paul knows that before he comes to their city. He knows that. And now that in this letter he wrote to them, he's kind of reflecting back what it was like before he got there and what was going on when he was with them in person. And Paul says, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed Christ. In other words, what he's saying is, I preached simple, clear, kind of low-key messages. Why? He said, I resolved, or I made a conscious decision to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is how I'm going to do it. Why? So they would just fix their eyes on Jesus, not on Paul, you know, the great eloquent speaker. So they could just simply concentrate on the simple message about Christ. Who he is, why he came, what he did and does for us. Now here's the thing. Paul was totally 100% capable of doing exactly what they liked. He was incredibly well educated, very bright, and he could do it. He could debate and reason and orate with absolutely the best of them. How do we know that? We know that because of his writings and how he referred to even to himself and his education and his accomplishments. He could have totally taken on the best of them. But if he had done that, would they have been more focused on his words and him, or as one person said, or would it, the idea is he wanted the cross, the message of the gospel, to actually touch people's hearts. So Paul's very open and vulnerable in what he's telling the people. He says, you know, when I came to you back then, he says, I came in weakness and fear and with trembling. Some people think, well, he had just come from Athens, about 40-ish miles away. And some people think, well, he maybe struggled because maybe things didn't go the way he wanted to when he was in the city of Athens talking to people there. And now he's going to this new place. It's kind of a very worldly bunch of people. There was a lot of issues going on in that city, that town, that community. And a lot of people maybe he knew weren't really all that excited about doing this repent thing and kind of giving things up and going a different way with their lives. They were a very sophisticated people. They were very well cultured. They had certain lifestyles that they liked, and that's just the way they were. So he's going in very anxious about his situation. And then you also read surrounding things, and you come to realize he personally had a lot of stuff going on in his life too. He had physical ailments he was dealing with. He had endured already punishments and afflictions. He had illness. He was possibly a little smaller in stature than most of the people, maybe not the most attractive guy. And he also said he had poor eyesight. So here's this guy, maybe doesn't command the same physical presence that certain people have, or maybe that strength or the means, the privilege. He had social and political threats put up against him. The guy's anxious. He actually talks about some of the anxiety issues that he has. He knows his limitations. And he's taking all of that personally that he knows about himself, the situation he's going into, and then on top of it, he says, all right, and then I'm going into that, trying to proclaim a message about this Messiah who got himself killed. That's what he's up against. And so here he is, walking into that. And I guess your question then obviously is, I know you're always saying, well, tell us, how did that happen? How did it play out? According to his message and what he presented, it was successful. And at the time Paul wrote this letter to the people there in that church in Corinth, they were probably the largest congregation he founded in Europe. And as he reflected, he could see the results. And he says, my message, my preaching were with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. It was the Holy Spirit that opened hearts, that softened hearts, that caused people to want to listen to this message. And so the Holy Spirit made these, and it says, wise people maybe see their own foolishness in what they were thinking and how they were doing life and saw something different. And it was not Paul's wise, persuasive eloquence that caused it to happen. Why did he choose to do it that way? He says, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. He said, I chose to do it this way. I made this conscious decision. This is how I was going to do it. It was straightforward and simple. Yeah, he told them a reason for Christ's death on the cross. But he also talked about the eternal benefits that there were for everyone. He talked about what it meant to truly know that the Creator, the God of the universe, knows us, loves us, and forgives us. He talked about the promise of eternal life. He talked about the resurrection of the body. He came in there in a way that was simple and clear and helped them to see things that they hadn't seen before. So Paul is the salt and light that Jesus spoke about. And Jesus says to us too that we are that which salts the earth. See, what Jesus is saying there, if you as my followers, if you start kind of turning away or drawing back from your calling that I put on you in your life, you're going to become tasteless. You're going to lose your saltiness. Now, we know that salt can't lose saltiness. It's a contradiction in terms. Either it is or it isn't. Just like you can't have an invisible city on a hill, and you can't have a covered lamp giving light. So what's he describing? He's talking about people who begin to distance him or herself from spiritual things for whatever reason. And the longer they are this way, the more influence other people have on them. They begin to tolerate more things than maybe they would have before. They begin to practice and do things that maybe never thought they would before. Things begin to change, and things are just different. And I think the Old Testament lesson for today is a great example of this. You've got people going through the motions. It's almost like you could take this spiritual checklist. Well, I did this, and I was told to do this, so I'm doing that, and I'm doing these things. And then wondering why no one notices. There was no heart for God. Their desire for their hearts to be used. And it's interesting that it says as soon as, in a sense, their hearts are moved because of God's work in their lives and things start happening, it's then that light breaks through and people start noticing things. And when we lose that, what gives, in a sense, our distinctiveness as Christians, when we lose that, our faith in Jesus, we cease to kind of exert a benefit that spiritually can affect society and the influence. It's like unsalty salt ceases to season or preserve food. So in Matthew chapter 5:16, that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, our works are public and visible, and they're done with one thing in mind. We just want people to see Jesus, and that God would get the glory and the honor. People come into faith living it out because salt passively affects its environment for good. And then he says, you're also that which gives light to the world. And salvation, the work of Christ, in a sense, illumines people's hearts and lives. They can see things differently and know things that they never knew before, that in a sense they were in the dark. We as believers, we don't have inherent light. We reflect light. And as we come in contact with Christ and his work, in a sense, it reflects. So we have to make sure that nothing then comes between us and the source, or it blocks it out. People can't change until they've heard the message. And the message needs to come and be sent out. So Christ tells us to reflect something to and into the world that causes people to be able to see God at work. I like this statement. You can only reflect something if you are in alignment with the source. It's true, right? You can only reflect something if you are in alignment with the source. It all brings us right back to where we started. Maybe there are weaknesses that we have, and we know them. We could almost have a checklist, like Paul could look at his life and, well, I'm going here, and this is about me, and this, and this, and this, and this about me. But God can turn it into a blessing. They are real. Maybe other people even notice. Hey, they already know what our faults are, too, but you know what? When it's not about us and God is able to work through us, that's when it becomes obvious, well, it's got to be God, because we know it's not you, all right? And that's comforting in so many ways. And that's why Jesus almost intentionally and purposefully, almost everyone he chose, almost anything he chose to use, was just ordinary. Because he wants his work to come through. It's him. Our job, in a sense, is to just get out of the way. Get out of the way so he can be seen and he can be noticed. And I think Paul, in his choice and how he came into Corinth, in a sense, that's what he was doing. He chose to be simple, clear, focused, to the point, and that's how he got out of the way. And God did an amazing work. And those who do that, in a sense, they're powerful, weak people. It comes down to this. It's very simple. Love people and allow people to see Jesus. Love people allow people to see Jesus, he'll work in beautiful ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done and the work that you do through your word, through willing vessels. God, as we leave here today, knowing who we are and who you are, I just pray that you would help us just to, in your name, in your power, just show love to people so that, in a sense, we can get out of the way that people can just notice you and see you. As people are loved or cared for, listened to, provided for, maybe encouraged with some good words about you, reminded again about who they are in your eyes. God, just use us for that. We just give you ourselves today and this week. Thank you for your love for us and the love you want to shine through us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.